Our next case is 13-2050, Hope Academy Broadway Campus et al. Versus White Hat Management LLC et al. Sitting for Justice O'Donnell is Judge John Wise from the 5th District Court of Appeals. Welcome, Judge Wise.
Thank you.
Ms. Hochstead.
Good morning, Chief Justice, fellow justices, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. We're here today to present to you on behalf of these appellant schools why the Court of Appeals decision that the money, the $100 million paid during the relationship by the schools to White Hat, should retain its public character. From a bird's eye view, the community schools were created for educational choice, with the presumption that a private operator could operate a school more efficiently while still providing a quality education. The Court of Appeals ruling eliminates the possibility to even know whether White Hat or any other management company is actually providing a quality education in a more efficient manner. When the governing boards of these schools questioned why the schools were failing, and the majority of them were, within 3 years' time, they were rebuffed. White Hat said, "It's none of your business, schools. We're not going to tell you how we spent the money." 5 years later, we still don't know. We have no answer to that.
Counsel, so that at least I can understand what the position of the two parties is in this case. Your clients are asking that the all of the property and buildings be turned over to them. Is that correct?
At this point, Your Honor, the possessory interests in the property and the buildings have been relinquished. We are asking for damages related to the value of those assets, those capital assets.
Right. And the posture of the case is there is this issue of White Hat being required under the statute to or the schools to make an election to purchase, right?
Correct, under the contract.
Under the
contract. That's their allegation, yes.
But it's at a depreciated value.
Correct.
Do we not have to worry about that? Because there seems to be no definition of how you calculate depreciation if that provision of the contract is in play.
Well, I think, you know, GAAP provides for the appropriate way to depreciate capital assets, and we don't know.
The contract doesn't, at least the part of it that's being discussed in the briefs doesn't.
Well, that is correct.
Enlighten us as to that. For example, computers become obsolete pretty quickly, so I would assume that's a pretty fast write-off. School buildings, less so, so what's the answer to that, or is that just not in the case?
Well, that's not part of the issue now, because truthfully, we have no idea what money was spent on what property was purchased with what types of funds.
Well, counsel, when you contracted with White Hat, your clients contracted with White Hat, would you not agree that the contract itself governs here?
The contract and the statutory authority, sure.
Okay. And you're saying that there is no statutory authority for an audit of the White Hat operation?
Well, our position, Your Honor, is that the auditor of state should be able to audit White Hat. However,
but that's not before us.
Well, in context of the Court of Appeals claim that this money is private, why would the auditor bother?
Well, the auditor has bothered on previous occasions to look at entities. So what the auditor would or would not do is not before us here.
That is correct.
So I want to be sure, because you started out by saying you have all these failed schools that were managed by White Hat, and when it came time to reckon why they failed, you're saying the White Hat said, none of your business, and we don't have to answer any questions.
Correct.
All right. Now, that is a statutory problem, is it not?
And a contractual problem, Your
Honor. Well, not a contractual problem with the schools. I would think that the schools would be able to answer some of those questions about a survey of their performance.
But, Your Honor, respectfully, what they wanted to know was how the money was being spent, because the foundation monies are to be spent on operations to ensure a quality education. And until they could see and understand how that money was being spent and on what, for what purpose, there was no way for them to adequately determine whether the contract was breached, whether they were violating their duties as a public official, whether they should request a special audit by the auditor, any of those things.
And that was not, you know, periodic accountings, accountability, et cetera, was not put into the contract. Am I correct?
It was put into the contract in Section 2. They were required to provide quarterly audited and unaudited statements, and they did not do that. That is part of our breach of contract claim, remains in the lower court.
So what are we deciding today? My take on reading first Judge Bender's opinion and then the Court of Appeals opinion, when you got to the Court of Appeals, both sides were claiming everything. Your side was saying it should all be ours, and they were saying you don't get anything, correct?
Correct.
And through a cross appeal, I guess. And the Court of Appeals really didn't discuss, it's almost a footnote at the end saying that White Hat's claim that you don't get anything is gone, right?
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. In fact,
they don't discuss it, they just say that's out of here.
The premise on which the Court of Appeals based all of its decisions on each of the three assignments of error was that the money is immediately private upon payment to White Hat. That drove the Court of Appeals' decision regarding fiduciary duty. There is none, because it was their money to spend however they want.
But wait a minute, counsel. Didn't the Court of Appeals start with the contract and the contract language that specifically gave a formula for this is what happens at the end of the contract if this school is no longer operating?
It did. However, it never, and neither did the lower court, which was the basis for our appeal to the 10th District, it never resolved the ambiguity in the contract relating to the nature of the funding source. And so you have a provision stating that White Hat in 2B is going to serve as a purchasing agent for the schools and title the capital assets in the school's name when the nature of the funding source requires it. You then look at 8A and 8A1, and you have a continuing fee, which is an opportunity grant based on the statutory language in 331408C. And from 8A1, which is a subset of the continuing fee, you can see that they are to pay teacher salaries, they are to buy all of the equipment necessary for use in the schools out of that continuing fee. Well, so the problem is that neither the lower court nor the Court of Appeals ever resolved the definition of the nature of the funding source. And here we are. Our definition is it's public money. The legislature has spoken that the money must be used for the operation of the schools. 3314074 says that if a school closes, the assets of that school must stay in that school district for the benefit of those schools. And we have a management company who admits at page 15 of their brief that they want all the assets in their name so they can move them amongst the 31 schools they manage.
Sounds like a breach of contract action.
Well, it is a breach of contract action, but it is also a problem with the with them not performing as a public official. Under Cordray, they are a public official. They have duties that are set forth in the Cordray decision where they need to spend that money. They received it under color of office. The schools are public offices. They only serve as our duly authorized representative through the contract and the statute.
And doesn't the contract suggest that they are expressly say they're an independent contractor?
It does. That does not mean they're not a public official. It does not mean they don't have a fiduciary duty. It simply means they're an independent contractor. In the cases they cite in their brief, there were specific disclaimers of an agency relationship or specific disclaimers of a fiduciary relationship, neither of which is here. We don't have that issue here. The most troubling thing about the Court of Appeals opinion is that if all the money is private and White Hat is paying the teachers with private money, and the teachers are public teachers who pay into the public retirement system, aren't we really creating private schools? Isn't that what the Court of Appeals just did? And 3314.01b says community schools are public schools.
The School Boards Association amicus brief suggests the contract was a sham.
I saw that, Your Honor.
What's your take on that?
Well, with all due respect, I mean, there may have been a disparity in the bargaining position of the parties. You know, clearly White Hat Management is a very well-heeled operation, has been in existence for a long time, and, you know, had actually quite a bit to do with the creation of the community school statutes, and so was operating from there. But the schools had their own counsel. They negotiated the agreement, and to that end, if the contract is ambiguous, which we say that it is regarding the nature of the funding source, when you're interpreting, you must interpret not to lead to an absurd result. And the absurdity here is that, represented by counsel, sure, we'll pay you with these taxpayer dollars, and then we'll buy this property back again with more taxpayer dollars if we ever terminate the contract. It's absurd.
Could you help us out to understand, because I'm still lost as to where this all is at this point, in a practical sense. We have to write an opinion. You'd like us to agree with you. So if we agree with you, where does this case go and how does it get unwound? I'm at a loss to understand why the definition or the meaning of how the depreciation would work, and you're suggesting that's all out of the case. It doesn't matter anymore.
With respect, I believe the assumption, Justice, that you're making is that White Hat owned the property. There's nothing in the statute, the community school statute, that provides White Hat the ability to do anything but operate and manage the day-to-day operations of the school. That is the cap on what they can do.
Weren't they also required to supply whatever was necessary in order to do that?
Yes, and in fact, they came to the schools with assets in hand. The rest of the assets were purchased through the continuing fee, and those are the assets that the schools are entitled to because those were paid for with public dollars. Whatever White Hat brought to the table,
go ahead,
was to be bought back at the remaining cost basis.
That's according to the contract.
Correct.
And you say that provision in the contract should not be enforced.
No. What I'm saying is that the property we are looking for is the property that was purchased with the continuing fund after we started school and in the relationship with them. They brought assets to the relationship.
But the majority of the assets that we're talking about is not what they brought to the table. It's what they acquired with this $100 million figure that you mentioned.
And those are our assets.
Okay, and they have an agreement in your contract is that we're going to take over the management, and as in that capacity, we're going to supply teacher salaries, we're going to supply a place, you know, acquire a place for the school to reside, and everything from, you know, desk furniture to pencils, they're going to do it all.
With the continuing fee, that is correct, and grant money and federal grant monies to the extent that they were available.
Okay, and so they did do that?
We assume they did, but we don't know. We haven't seen the books.
Counsel, your teachers got paid.
They did.
There was furniture.
There was.
There was a roof over their head.
Correct.
The utility bills were paid.
Correct.
Okay, so they did all that stuff with that money. Now, how much they paid to get that done and how much they pocketed out of those dollars as profit is an unknown. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, but in the contract, it is saying, from what I understand, that when we sever our relationship, White Hat is going to go in their own direction, and they're going to keep the desks and the, you know, projectors and whatever else they, you know, have purchased, and that will be theirs. But, school, if you want it, you'll have to pay us for it.
Well, part of the contract insinuates that. It's not clear. If you look at Section 8 of the contract, it talks about the continuing fee. From that continuing fee, which is paid in advance. So a lot of the cases where you're talking about contract money being paid, the service is performed and then the payment is rendered. So there's, you know, you see the result beforehand. They're taking the continuing fee each month and using those monies to pay the teacher's salaries, which ran roughly, you know, $1 million a year, I believe. That's including the benefits and the STRS contributions. So in that section, it says we're going to, out of the continuing fee, because it's a subset of 8A, we're going to provide all these things. Those are services. The whole contract is a service contract. What service is it for them to take the money and put all the assets in their name and then make us buy them back at the end of the day? That's not a service. The service provision is that they agreed to be our purchasing agent in Section 2B of the contract. And the public nature of these funds is what drives the decision.
How long had this been going on? 3 years?
Five.
5 years. And you have a school board. Each one of these schools has a school board made up of parents and people who were interested in the success of the schools.
Correct.
And during that period of time, the schools, the school board was aware of the failing grades that their schools were getting.
That is correct.
And that didn't cause them to examine what was going on with White Hat?
It did. There were questions raised all along the way. However, there's a statute, not at issue in this case, that was passed a couple years after the contract was signed, that says if a governing authority chooses to terminate its management company or even just let a contract expire with its management company, the management company can appeal to the sponsor and have the board members removed, and then the management company can put in their own board members so that it's a more friendly relationship.
So
in light of that, their hands were tied. All the assets had been titled in White Hat's name, so if they left White Hat, they had to start over, and they risked being yanked out of there by the sponsor and replaced by White Hat.
I hope I'm finally understanding what assets and what the dispute is now about. If I understood what you argued is assets, whether it's school buildings or cash or whatever that White Hat brought to the table are not in this case at this point.
Correct.
You're not disputing that, and you're also saying that those would be the assets that the school at its election could opt to purchase at the depreciated value. Is that correct?
Yes.
So depreciation doesn't matter because the assets to which depreciation is to be applied under the contract are not in dispute in this case.
Correct.
All right.
We just don't know which ones they are or were because we haven't seen the books.
Okay. So to deal with the assets that you believe the schools paid for with state money, The state money first came to the schools, and then the schools gave it to White Hat.
Correct.
That's the money flow. So to determine what is in dispute, your argument basically is we can't even tell because we can't see the books.
That's correct.
And you're not asking for White Hat's profit. You're just asking for whatever they paid for the assets that are in dispute, and you're unclear even as to which assets are in dispute. Is that correct?
Yes.
You haven't seen the books.
That is correct. And truthfully, what we're asking this court to do is determine that the nature of the funding source as used in these contracts means public money, such that any assets purchased with that money must belong to the schools for the benefit of the school districts where those schools reside.
It's really a bigger consequence than what you're asking for. If you're only concerned about these limited assets in this particular case, but if you want a declaration that the nature of the funding source dictates that these dollars remain public dollars, that means dollars that are subject to scrutiny by the auditor of state, that goes, even though you're not interested in what the profits are or anything associated with what at White Hat, that changes the complexion of these dollars, and that information would be part of an audit.
Well, it would be, except, again, I go back to this, and I know audit is not part of this, but consider if the money's private and the auditor audits it and finds mismanagement or misappropriation, there is no ability to have a finding for recovery against White Hat, because according to the Court of Appeals, they could do whatever they wanted with that money.
I understand what you're saying in this limited set of circumstances, but this case is bigger than just your dispute or your client's dispute and White Hat. This would affect the nature of every other institution or management company, including White Hat's ongoing management services for other schools right now,
yeah.
And there's other comparable businesses out there.
There are, and yes, we believe, number one, that our contract provides that the nature of the funding source drive this, and that the nature of the funding source here is public dollars.
Can you distinguish Oriana House, then, from your argument?
Well, Oriana House is, you're talking about the audit case?
Yes.
Okay. Oriana House is not necessarily distinguishable. I believe Oriana House stood for the fact that a private management company receiving public money could be audited. But this Court of Appeals went further, the 10th District in our case, to say they, White Hat, can do whatever they want with the money. So if they can do whatever they want with the money, there is no basis to audit and recapture any state funds because they're no longer state funds.
By definition, counsel, if we affirm the Court of Appeals, we overrule Oriana House, do we not?
That is correct. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, members of the court. May it please the court, my name is David Paragas, and along with my colleagues, we serve as counsel to the appellee, White Hat Management, which served as the management operation companies for the schools for a period starting in 2005 and terminating on its own terms in June 30th, 2010. Simply stated, this case is a contract interpretation case, which centers on whether the appellant schools or White Hat Management owns the property which White Hat purchased to deliver the education model. Both the Court of Common Pleas and the Court of Appeals found, one, that the management contracts were legally authorized and unambiguous. Number two, that the management companies owned the furniture and equipment pursuant to the contract. Number three, that the schools could have obtained the furniture and property.
Counsel, let me ask you a question, which I just asked your opposing counsel. It seems to me that Oriana House from this court indicates that if you take large sums of public money, that the state auditor is going to come in and take a look and see where it's going If I understand the briefing, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, correct?
I'm not certain of the amount, Justice O'Neill, but
you're not?
For the purpose, let's follow along with your line of question.
Well, let's stay with that for a second. You're not?
Sure.
You don't know how much money's involved?
It's approximately about $100
million. $100
million? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So would you agree with me, therefore, if we were to affirm the Court of Appeals, we by definition would be overruling Oriana House, which stands for the proposition that if there's $100 million on the table, the state auditor has an absolute right to see where it's going?
Your Honor, but that's not the proposition before this court.
It's a question I asked you, though.
Yeah. So it would not overrule Oriana House, in fact, because Oriana House stood solely for the audit. And let me point out for the edification of this court, under 3314.024, a management company that receives more than 20% of the revenue, 20% of the revenue of a community school must provide detailed financials to the auditor during their annual audit. So it already has an audit function in place pursuant to statute. And since Chapter 3314, which creates community schools, is a statutory authorization, that issue is addressed. So whether or not Oriana House or an audit is subject is really not relevant here. But what the appellants try to argue in this case is
so let me, just for clarity, you say their cards are on the table. They have been audited.
Your Honor, we have provided detailed financials during the annual audits, which are included in the footnotes of the state auditor's annual audit of the schools.
Okay, so why is that not satisfying the appellants here?
I'm not certain, because we have complied with that. Their treasurer participated in all the state audits, and for them to suggest that we have not cooperated in providing those simply is not true.
But you're saying they do have the information they need to make to answer their questions about the divvying up of the dollars.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, Oriana states that private entities are not subject to Public Records Act, or the disclosure is what we're talking about here, absent a showing by clear and convincing evidence that the private entity is the functional equivalent of a public office. Would you agree that White Hat is the functional equivalent of a public office?
No, Your Honor. You're referring to the X. Rel. Oriana House case, which dealt with the public records, and the functional equivalent test was vastly different than the facts that we have here. In that instance, the executive director of the community-based corrections facility was also the executive director of Oriana House, and was also the executive director of correctional health.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to apply that same reasoning here, the schools...
But that was that was an effort to follow the money. That's what that case was all about. And that's what this case is all about.
No, Your Honor, this case is simply a straightforward contract interpretation case. And the way the appellants attempt to get there is trying to demonstrate that public money always stays as public money, even after it's paid and compensated. And they cite Oriana House Case 1 to prove that. And they try to suggest that this court found that private entities receiving public funds, such as those receiving funds to operate a CBCF, are subject to an audit. That isn't the same proposition. This court never took on the issue on whether public funds remained public funds after they were paid as compensation to a private entity.
How does our Cordray case get involved here? The Cordray versus International Preparatory Schools.
Justice Lanzinger, the Cordray case is about whether a treasurer is a public official, which we don't contest that a treasurer is. And in fact, the appellant schools in this case retain their own independent treasurer who was bonded by the state. It's clear that a treasurer is an independent or is a public official. And so it doesn't really weigh in this case because we did not act. Pursuant to the contract in this case, the schools retained responsibility for audits, financial reporting.
Counsel,
so they had that function.
What property is in dispute? Can you describe what property is in dispute in this case?
Yes, Your Honor. Following your line of questioning to appellant in this case, it's not in what is not in dispute is the property that White Hat brought to the table.
I get that.
What is not in dispute is that property that was segregated pursuant to grant money that was obtained. We purchased it on their behalf and properly labeled it and tagged it. What is in dispute is the property we purchased with our own money to deliver the educational model.
Give me an example.
Desk, furniture, computer. those types of things.
And you say our own money, but it was the state's money that the schools paid to White Hat that was used to purchase that. Is that correct? Your use of the term our own money is once the check, which came from the state coffers to the school, once they wrote the check to White Hat, it's our own money.
That's correct, and that's what the Court of Appeals found in ruling on the Jovich case. And there are two.
So it was in reality state money that purchased the desks and computers that you say was converted.
Your Honor, I have
White Hat's money at the point they received the check.
It was White Hat's money at the point it received the check. And the Court of Appeals found that to be true by applying the Jovich ruling, not the Orniana House case ruling. In Jovich, the money ceased being public money once it was paid as reasonable compensation for services rendered. There are two specific attorney general's opinions that came to the exact same conclusion. And one of them, an Adam board, tried
so
to make...
the outcome that you advocate would allow White Hat to take the state funds that went to the school board and then went to White Hat, purchase desks, computers, and whatever else is in dispute in this case. And since it's White Hat's own money now in your view, and it's their own desks and computers, there would be nothing to stop White Hat from saying one day, we're tired of doing this, and calling up some salvage operator who deals in desks and computers and whatever and saying, this is what we've got, give us a check.
If I follow your line of questioning.
There's no requirement to continue the use of the desks and computers and whatever else is in dispute for the purpose of educating children.
That's correct. In fact, this enabled a model that allowed the management company to be nimble. They operated a number of schools. And so if they had furniture and equipment where enrollment was down, they could shift the use of those dollars, or those, excuse me, that equipment to other schools, which is what-
But they could shift it to,
right,
to Hong Kong, yeah, for that matter.
That's correct. And that's exactly what the Court of Appeals found. The nature of the terms are no different between public entities and private entities than between private entities among each other.
Counsel, I'd just like to take you back to one point. Opposing counsel brings up the point of the audit, mm-hmm, and not subject to it. You've said we provide audits. We've always done that. But I think the concern from opposing counsel was, yes, but even if they find something, we can't do anything because you say it's private funds, so there's no sanction if they find these funds were used improperly. I think I'm expressing that correctly. How do you respond to that?
Your Honor, you're correct. White Hat Management, pursuant to 33-14-024, provided detailed financials. That was included in the state auditor's audit, and the state auditor supplied an amicus brief at the trial court where it indicated there was nothing improper found. Had there been, certainly the state auditor and the schools could have instituted a recovery action, but that wasn't before this court, and those facts are not in record.
The concept of public funds, and that's the concern,
yeah,
was my point. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And counsel, the only support you have for the idea that funds lose the characteristic of public funds once they're in the possession and control of the private entity is Jovich and some attorney general opinions. We have not spoken in that regard. Is that correct?
That's correct. This court has never determined that public funds retain their character as public funds after they are paid as reasonable compensation to a private entity. And simply stated, Orianna House versus Montgomery does not hold that. Orianna House stands for the sole proposition that a private entity is subject to an audit.
Is there anything in Title 33-14 that speaks to this issue? When this is all a statutory construct, as we know, the community schools and so on, does that talk at all about the source of funds remaining a public source of funds throughout the life of a contract?
Your Honor, no, it doesn't. 3314 specifically authorizes a community school to enter into a contract with a private management company to provide any service. And it does not speak to, nor does it designate those funds as always being public funds.
So that, in other words, it blesses the idea of a contractual relationship being entered into, and that's why you say this is a contractual matter?
Yes, Your Honor. There are no limitations put forward in 3314 on the contractual relationship. And yet, when you look at 3314.03, the contractual relationship that must be negotiated by and between the community school and their sponsors, there's a laundry list of requirements that are imposed. But yet, when it came to the management contract, there are no limitations, which the courts have found that, at least in the Cincinnati v. Connors case, that great deference should be given to that right to contract. It's a deep-seated right.
But counsel, I'm not sure I heard your answer to the chief's question. If White Hat is functioning, doing the functional equivalent of a traditional school, why are they not public officials pursuant to Cordray? If they're $100 million worth, educate the kids, doesn't that make them a public official?
I believe, Your Honor, in the context of Chief Justice O'Connor's question, in the Ex Rel Oriana House case, we had a different set of circumstances, and we never get to the functional equivalent test because in order for that to be considered, Oriana House would be having to act as a public official, just as the executive director of Oriana House Correctional Health also served as the executive director of the community-based correctional facilities. In this case, the school had their own independent treasurer. They retained a treasurer who was licensed, bonded, and professional. We don't serve in that public office function. And so we don't even get to the Oriana House functional equivalency test.
Is the superintendent of my school system, is he a public official?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that's pursuant to 3313 of the Ohio Revised Code. And I think it's important to remember.
Therefore, doesn't the person who's running a charter school serve in the exact same function?
Your Honor, the General Assembly could have designated a superintendent, a treasurer, a governing school board as a public official. It also could have designated an operating company. This General Assembly has amended 3314 at least a dozen times since inception. Not once did they designate an operating company as a public official. I think they strongly recognize the independent nature and temperament of private entities.
I guess what I'm trying to get to is, though, the term functional equivalent. That's what this court seemed to be interested in Cordray. If you're doing a public function with public funds, aren't you the functional equivalent of that public official?
Your Honor, under the Cordray case, the court found that the treasurer was the public official. In this case, the contractor management company, White Hat, is performing a service for the schools, which are the public officials.
Counsel, in Cordray, there's some very broad language there regarding the public officials that the community schools are public officials. Public money received or collected is public money. If you look at paragraphs 24 through 28, and are you suggesting that's dicta, unnecessary to the holding in that case? Or would you respond to it?
Yes, Your Honor. I would suggest that the schools are the public officials, not their private management company. The General Assembly was very clear in defining what a management company was and imposing no additional requirements on them. And
so you would not argue with the fact that the board and the hierarchy of these individual schools are public officials?
That's correct.
But your management company is not.
That's correct.
Would your management company be a duly authorized representative of a community school?
No, it would not. We did not, you know, I think it's important to look at the contract to determine what the purpose of the contract was. And in the contract, it expressly claimed that all of the financial risk would be transferred to the management company. Where there's no risk encumbered upon the principal, they're not a duly authorized representative. I think more importantly, the contract spelled out in paragraph 14, that it was an independent contractor relationship. In fact, they acknowledged that.
Counsel, you said that there's no financial risk
That's correct.
But they're still subject to all the other statutory risk as the school, right?
Your Honor.
Performance and the fact that they were required to contract with someone responsible to do the servicing that your client has proposed. They're not off the hook just because White Hat says that we're going to finance everything and provide it.
Your Honor, what the Court of Appeals and the Court of Common Pleas found, that there was no general fiduciary duty found. And in fact, the Court of Appeals found that there was no fiduciary duty because it was not understood by the parties. There must be mutuality in that to determine that there's a fiduciary duty.
But that is really the crux here. If we would find there is a fiduciary duty.
This is essentially a contract case. The statute specifically authorized community schools to enter into a contract with management companies. It placed no other limitations on that contract. And had the parties intended to create a fiduciary relationship, they could have. Had the parties intended to create an agency relationship, they could have. Instead, they disclaimed that. And so for those reasons, we think the Court of Appeals decision should be upheld.
Thank you. Counsel, you've used all your time. You may take a minute.
White Hat is not audited pursuant to 3314.024. It does not provide for a true detailed accounting of the management company's books. The Auditor of State Yost, filed an amicus in this case. It's in the record at 261. I refer the justices to that brief because it is very explicit in what 3314.024 does provide, and it does not provide an audit of White Hat's books. What it provides is that White Hat provide a very brief overview of categorical expenses that the schools can then put in a footnote to their financials at the end of every year to be audited. I want to be clear, there is no auditing pursuant to 3314.024 of White Hat. Also, White Hat concedes that grant monies were used, any money that was grant money was used to buy assets in the name of the schools. Reference to 3314.08c, which also encompasses 3317.02, says it's an opportunity grant, and that is based on the formula amount in the state foundation statute, which is the same definition as the continuing fee in the contract. Those are all grant monies. That continuing fee is a grant, and all the assets that were bought with it should be titled in the name of the schools.
Does the grant require that?
The grant, 3317.01, says that all monies that are earmarked pursuant to the foundation payments must be used for the school operations or in the operation of the school. That's in 3317.01.
Okay, but there's no dispute that these desks and computers, et cetera, were utilized. The question we have is the title, the ownership.
Right. That is correct, but it's public money. And that gets to my next point, which is Cordray. The only way that White Hat can operate a community school is through the contract as our duly authorized representative. Under Cordray, there is no question that White Hat is a public official. Pursuant to 9.39,
the contract does not say that they are. They are taking that responsibility on. As opposing counsel has said, they are an independent contractor, and they've specifically in the contract have stated that they are not taking on the fiduciary responsibility. Oh,
there's a difference between saying you're an independent contractor and disclaiming fiduciary duty. They did not disclaim fiduciary duty in the contract.
And they did not take it on in the contract.
They did not disclaim it, nor did they disclaim an agency relationship. And if you look at the realities of the relationship, which Ironman commands that we do, the reality is they're educating our public kids in place of the school. They're stepping into the shoes of the school board and performing a traditional government function. There is nothing more public official than that. It does not matter whether they said they're an independent contractor. They are an agent. They are a public official, and they have duties akin to all of that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be advised of our decision.